talk about modeling. That would have been a nightmare.
Oh my God. All I saw was shag rugs. Right. Said that.
Hey, y'all. Hey, what's up? And welcome to Let's Red Table That. I'm Tracy T. Rowe.
And I'm Cara Presley. How are you feeling today, Tracy?
I am feeling every day amazing. And I want you to know, I know you are feeling successful. And we get a chance to talk about this episode. This Paulina Pereskova episode was insanely chock full of goodness. I was watching it like, okay, I can't wait. I can't wait to talk about this. I can't wait to talk about this. First of all, let me start by saying this. And let me see if you agree with me, Cara.
Okay.
For Paulina to have fallen in love with, I'm gonna call him Mr. Cars.
Okay.
What we know now is this man had some real control issues. He had some real stuff going on, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he was a whole narcissist, I believe. Did he even see her? It didn't feel great. I felt for her the whole episode.
The whole time. And they didn't touch on it during the show. And I was like, this is kind of a multifaceted episode.
Right.
Because the man, first of all, I want to say you're just lying low down, dirty dog. You knew you were married when you pursued this girl.
That part.
She was young and impressionable. She was in a whole new land and you took full advantage of her.
Yes, it's giving low down, dirty shame.
It is.
Pun intended, because what is going on?
She already suffered enough. But you know what we've also learned, and I'm so grateful that the table, Red Table Talk, has been such a source of good information and being able to evolve.
Yeah.
Because I have grown so much with all the topics this season for myself.
Every week, I'm like, is that a survival tactic I'm using?
To be able to identify when I hear it right off. I was like, oh, Paula, no, you were being breadcrumbs.
Every week.
Oh, no, he was gaslighting
a trauma response.
You.
Right? We're aware. We are aware. And we are moving intentionally.
And we know that her childhood trauma, come on, let's go back.
Yeah,
what do we know?
Yeah.
Nurturing, guidance, protection. Mm-hmm, she didn't get that from her mother. She talked about how her family members just basically left her and her brother to fend for themselves, and how she said she doesn't ever want to eat cheese bread now.
I'm sorry, God.
That's a trauma.
I can literally pull out the Maslow's hierarchy of needs every episode, and I'm like,
see,
they're missing this one. And you see it come out in their regular life. Even it's so many things to pick through. I don't even know which one to pick on.
I know, because the way that her trauma, it was a trauma bond. And her husband ended up, I mean, it was a perfect
He played into it.
I feel so aware. This episode was like, oh my gosh, I've learned so much now because I know what's happening and I can identify little pieces of myself in it, right? Mm-hmm. To know that there's some feeling of undervalue that she felt. That even when people said, oh, you're so beautiful and let's get you to become a model, she still didn't feel good about modeling.
That part.
Right?
Bless her heart. The book is titled No Filter. I mean, I'm happy that she's at a place where she can even acknowledge that.
I'm
not
doing
the Botox for y'all. I'm not doing this for y'all. I'm doing this for me only.
Now, let me say something here, Cara.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm happy to call the elephant out and say the king's pants are on fire and all that jazz. Okay.
Okay.
So let me go ahead and say what other people are probably thinking and are not saying.
Okay.
It was even more brave to me for her to not have fillers, to not do Botox. Because if you are one who ages in a way that people go, oh my gosh, I can't tell you're such and such age, right? It wouldn't be that big of a deal. Paulina Pereskova is not aging in the way that people can't look at her and see that she's aging, right? She is owning it anyway.
And
I think that there's so much respect that I have for her in that regard.
I was very happy to see that she was happy with herself.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure we all know the criticism can come whether you want it to or not. So yeah, again, between the book cover, the book title, and then just her appearance at Red Table, but she was still beautiful. And I love for us to acknowledge how beautiful as women we are amongst each other, but it's okay to say, I am older. I am maturing. I am seasoned.
Okay, come on here.
I'm trying to use your words.
I know. Come on. That's why I said, come on here. Use the words.
Right.
You're a quick study. Come on here, Kyle. But here's one of the things I have to say that was also funny to me. And y'all listening, did y'all pick this up? When she got ready to sit down, she was like, oh, there's this color dress you have on is beautiful. She was like, yes, I wore this intentional. And I was like, okay, now what is the blue dress doing?
That might be her razzle dazzle. I've noticed as I get a little older, and I know I'm not older. I am maturing.
See, That word old just ain't it.
That word just ain't it. Oh, I'm going to just stop saying that.
Well, I take old. But anyway, I'm okay.
I've noticed that I enjoy a little sequin. I need a little razzle dazzle. So
you
the color,
a little sparkle.
Yeah, I need a little sparkle to remind me of the sparkle that the Lord has given me. So
okay,
maybe,
come on here.
Maybe
shine your
that
light.
Color.
Shine
maybe
bright.
That color helps her. Yeah, shine bright like a diamond.
I just thought it was funny because she's, oh, here's my blue. And I was like, okay. And she's, oh, the table is red. And I was like, now, baby,
girl,
do you know where you are? Come on here now. Name
of
the
it
show.
Was that part. That's the name of the show, sis. I don't, bless her heart.
I was like, now, you have, you need, might need to put one filter on. Just one. We need one filter.
We all said it. Yo, come on. That's why we had this official fan rewatch podcast.
Those were the funny highlights because there's some serious
ish going on
in her life. Paulina, we want to just say you're a trooper. And she had to push through because what she had to go through was really difficult.
Yeah, it was the finding the text for me after
Low
he had passed
down.
And had made a whole, I mean... It was the her bringing him coffee. I mean, still in the act of taking care of.
Still.
And he had the nerve to say she abandoned him.
I've gone on a whole date with my whole new boyfriend and my created my whole new life. And I come back and there's some cookies. I wanted, do you want a cookie? Would you like a cookie? And he's like, no, I'll wait till tomorrow. And then the thing that made me mad is that Joker was not planning on dying. He was getting ready to try to stick it to her. And see, ooh, that's the part where it was a kind of a karma moment for me. I was like, see there? You thought you were playing while you were digging a hole for her. Really, you should have been digging one for yourself, sir.
That part. It was...
I don't sound very empathetic right there, do I?
You didn't. No, not quite. It's all right.
It's just the whole idea of how... The whole relationship, you just look at it. And I'm sorry to your children, Paulina. I don't mean to speak ill of their father. But I will say, I'm a bit disgusted and busted about the way that she was treated.
It was the... I went to the show to support him.
Right.
And he didn't even mention me. Excuse me?
Like I didn't exist.
And I was there? Now come
on. And here's the thing. I imagine it's even more difficult for her not to date now because she's in her 50s, but because she did not sound like she dated a whole lot of other people, period.
That part.
Right?
That part. Even when she told him at the time, I'm going to date new people and I'm going to... She still had, she was hokey pokey in it.
Right.
She had one foot in, one foot out of their
right.
house.
And stayed and still did all her wifely, I'm going to take care of you because you're ill. I hope hearing this and having her share, not just her story at the table, but in her book, No Filter, mm-hmm. I hope that it empowers some women to understand that you can have a full,
yes,
thriving, beautiful, productive life.
Yes.
And it does not have to mean that every single thing you do is wrapped up in another person.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll be joined by an incredible guest from our Red Table Talk community.
Charnita Best is on Let's Red Table That today because she can relate to Paulina's story of marriage, divorce, and navigating dating after making it through these painful experiences. She is also my friend, so I'm excited to welcome her to our virtual Red Table. Welcome, Charnita, or C-Best the Realtor. Yes.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
We're so excited for you to be here.
Yes. Listen, we're going to jump right into it. This is the part of the show where we reveal which moments made us pause, rewind, and listen again. Wait, what? Right. Because what in the world is going on?
I love this. Okay, so Kyra, here we go. Let's start out with the first wait, what?
I just turned 69 a couple of days ago.
What a beautiful 69.
Yeah. Thank you so much. But that's the thing. It really has made me rethink, like, how much of this am I going to do?
Right.
Like, how much Botox am I going to get? And when will I be comfortable enough to let that all go?
When Gammy shared that she gets Botox, I loved her transparency.
I had no idea. Am I the only one who didn't know that? Charnita, did you know
I
that?
I didn't. I didn't know that at all.
Does she look good? Does she not look
good? She looks very good.
She looks amazing.
She really does.
She looks
too
good.
She really does.
No, she don't. She looks too good.
She does. I mean, she looks
good. A little too good.
But now, I wasn't shocked. Okay? I'm going to say, I do appreciate her transparency, but I was not shocked when she said she was not going to get Botox anymore, or she was going to try. She was going to think about it.
I had no idea. I mean, Tracy, do you have any anti or skin aging routine, secret anti-aging.
You know what? I wish I could tell you guys I'm going to not do XYZ in the spirit of Paulina. I have nothing. Okay. I have absolutely nothing but God's grace and good genes and maybe a couple extra cups of water. That's all I got.
What about you, Chynita?
So Tracy took one of mine. I'm definitely going to say plenty of water. More than 2 cups for me. I need like gallons of water and plenty of rest.
Oh, yes.
Abnormal amounts of rest. Definitely.
No, not abnormal amounts.
Nothing wrong with the nap.
Wait a minute. Let's qualify. Let's qualify abnormal, Chynita. Hold on a second. Like an hour.
Probably about 8 hours. So, you know, you should sleep regularly 8 hours. But then I'm talking about take another 8 hour nap. Break it down, 2 4s.
I'm with you, though. I'm with the rested life.
Cara has a nap ministry.
Yes,
so
I do.
She is 100% with you, Chynita. Okay?
I do have a nap ministry.
That is hilarious.
It's nothing wrong with it.
Y'all can't see Chynita, but she does look absolutely amazing. Her skin is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Beautiful. It's You're so sleep. Welcome. It's the sleep.
I'm here for it. Team sleep. Listen.
Oh, my goodness. Come on here this other way with Paulina.
Paulina sharing that modeling still hurts her self-confidence.
The moments where I feel the least secure about myself is when I am modeling. One day of modeling will set me back, like, confidence-wise, like, a few months at
totally,
least.
I can totally get that.
This is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Why continue something that hurts you? Would you guys keep doing something even though you were good at it? Bless her heart.
Here's the thing. It's easy to say that you want to be able to knee-jerk and say, yes, it hurts me and it sets me back and my self-confidence is damaged as a result of doing something as a profession. Mm-hmm. But she started so young. And then by the time she connected with her husband, she fell head over heels with him. That huge Estee Lauder contract came in. And then after that, she was really kind of settled. So what would she have done at that time, right? There's some true transitional things that models have now, but when she was modeling in the 80s, it would have been really difficult for her to transition from modeling to having a YouTube account on makeup or whatever, because it didn't exist.
True.
So I can see why she didn't stop.
I could see why. I'm hoping this book will maybe give her some new avenues where she can realize she can go find her new older modeling tribe, maybe. She's not alone.
Wait a minute. Did you say the new older modeling tribe?
I mean, clearly. Yeah. She's...
And can we define the age with new older?
Right. Miss 40-year-old Cara.
I'm just saying, clearly.
She old sounds a little harsh on the tongue, okay?
She ain't young as what we are. We not? I don't know. How do we say? She's
mature.
Saying it's hurting her confidence. Mature,
seasoned,
works.
Veteran.
Seasoned. I don't want to sound like a turkey now. I'm just
hilarious. So do you think she had, even with the hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did she have as an alternative?
She, nothing much, right? I mean, hopefully she has found something else.
In her old modeling tribe.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe like a modeling school or, I don't know, develop the next generation that was interested in it. Maybe.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's a concept.
Well, one thing she's definitely doing is keeping us safe by sharing these stories. Do you have any reoccurring situations or practices that are hurting your image of yourself that you should probably get yourself out of or stop? I do not, because I've removed myself.
Okay, so tell me what you mean, Cara.
I don't have anything currently that I'm dealing with or going to or involved in that hurts my perspective of self. Not at this moment. Well, because I go where I'm celebrated. Some places I was just going because the check was successful regardless.
Okay, so see, that's powerful. So there is some evolution. I think that she didn't get the chance to do that. Paulina didn't get a chance to have that evolution that you can identify that at some point you were like, okay, I'll take this gig or do this, whatever, if the check was right. But now you're like, nope, I want to go where I'm celebrated, which I think is so powerful.
I mean, I hate to sound like I'm piggybacking off of Cara, but I think at my age and stage and maturity and where I am in life, I'm with her. I'm trying to be in a room full of people where everybody is applauding and team me and we supporting and uplifting. So I want to be where I'm celebrated too.
So interestingly, I'm going to take a quick spin. There was a time for me, and it was about being in a recurring situation. And sadly, the recurring situation for me was church. That years ago, I was attending a church. I was faithful and dedicated. I was loyal and committed, but I was getting church hurt every week. And so I didn't feel like I belonged. There was always some condemnation. And so I had to make a decision, like the two of you, to say, as much as I could be fed on a positive level in terms of being spiritually recharged and being able to grow, it's being hindered because I literally feel stagnated in my own personal attack. And so I couldn't reconcile the conflict of the two. So I appreciate the evolution of saying you have to take a step back. And sometimes it's hard. Like in Paulina's case, she knew that that was her mainstay and she really probably didn't feel like she had a choice. Mm-hmm. Paulina also shared a story. This is the other weight what. Now this weight what?
Right.
It was a wait, what? Paulina's story of a photographer exposing himself to her when she was just 15 was truly heartbreaking and disturbing.
Yeah.
I was so glad to hear that Jada chose to never leave Willow alone when Willow was an ambassador for Chanel.
I remember Karl Lagerfeld telling me with you, he was like, I love that you don't leave her alone on the set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, never. Jada never leave her alone on the set.
Exactly.
And he didn't go into detail.
Here's the thing. Karl Lagerfeld, someone who's a fashion industry icon, knew that Willow should not be alone on set, which means that he was aware of the dangers in his own industry. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. But
come on.
Here's the thing. Was he ever doing anything other than telling Jada, yay, good for you, mom, that you didn't leave your child alone to address the dangers?
It's kind of like one of those secret people meetings. It's always a little something people going around the corner to say, let me just put you on game real quick. Maybe that's something Paulina could do is continue to share these stories and let these young models know this could happen, that could happen. Protect yourself in these ways. So
Karl Lagerfeld telling Jada, good for you, protect your daughter. I'm like, what about all these other 15-year-olds around here who don't have their mother with them?
Did you tell them to come back and pick up the children at the bus stop?
That's what I'm disturbed about. What is the industry doing overall? Because you think about it, that wasn't that long ago.
Right. Willow April 22.
This was some current, relevant stuff. Karl Lagerfeld died in 2019. So you're talking about literally just a couple blinks ago.
I don't know. I just think in the industry sometimes it's like not kissing and telling. I'm not saying I support that or believe in it or I think it's right. I just think the culture of that whole industry has probably done and seen a lot of things that they continuously sweep under the carpet. And I'm sure to speak up is probably a very difficult thing. Again, I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm sure then you become an outcast or you get some kind of penalty as far as now your profession. And they probably have them almost held hostage, if you would, for lack of better terms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's the hard part because, I mean, I guess that has to be your lane, right? Like, I want to be a change maker out here and rearrange narratives and help people pivot and do things differently. But everybody's not in there. Like, what I need to do to just kind of maintain.
Go along to get along.
Yeah, that part. Yep. That part. So,
so I get that if you're Willow in this case, okay?
Right.
But Karl Lagerdangon failed.
Industry leader, huh? Someone who knows better.
He was one of the founders in building in the fashion industry. And I'm just frustrated that you have the wherewithal and then you can select the person to say, good for you that you're not leaving Willow alone, which lets me know that you know I shouldn't. And good for Jada that she didn't. However, comma, what about the other children who were there that weren't in a position to have their parent or guardian with them? Then they were just exposed and potentially violated while you wait on the wings for them to show up and walk down the aisle or whatever they're doing. I don't know. I just feel some kind of way about that.
You know, it's a hurtful situation. I mean, we want to be able to save everybody, right?
I mean, this is not about Karl Lagerfeld, rest in peace, but you were wrong for knowing and not saying anything. And then here's the thing. I'm going to assume positive intent for him. Perhaps he did know and he was trying to be a change agent and he could just only do what he could do, which was to forewarn people, right?
That part.
So if you're sitting in the midst of bad things that are happening, should you feel some responsibility for trying to fix it? Or are you just going to say, I'm going to tell you on the side? Or Carl, what we say, you have a good sidebar black people conversation?
Yeah, a little private black people meeting, white people meeting.
We'll have a little
private people meeting.
Come here, baby. Let me tell you something.
Listen, for me personally, I'm not trying to fix a thing anymore. Back in my day, I was trying to save everybody and everything, but I believe it was the great 3-6 Mafia that said, don't
come
save
on here,
her.
Memphis.
She don't want to be saved. That's what I heard.
She don't want to be saved.
Okay, well, now, hold on. First of all, thank you for repping 36 Mafia. I'm always down. 901. I'm all about 901 because we got some fantastic talent coming out of here. However, let me say this. Kara, what? This is truly, what? You're not trying to fix anything.
I can't save you.
Not the person who was leading protests in the great city of Confederacy of Richmond. On the front
the capital of the Confederacy. No, yes. If they want to be saved, I'm going to do everything I can to let them know and empower them to let them know that they can move and adjust and pivot. But
for all the little Paulinas of the world, I hope that there are some people who are advocates for you. And see, there's absolutely nothing to stop the industry from putting safety nets and safeguards in place for those young women and men who are in the industry to ensure that they're protected. Because just because something was done a certain way and it's always been that way doesn't mean it has to always be that way. I think that the industry just needs to do better. Mm-hmm. So that's my soapbox moment. All right.
We're all pretty familiar with what Paulina experienced in her relationship and eventual split. But Sharnita, what was your experience separating from your husband of 10 years?
It was something else. So, man, I could talk for days about this kind of stuff. It was an emotional roller coaster, honestly. Mm-hmm. No one ever gets married. I'm going to say most people probably don't get married with the notion of getting divorced, right? We all are in it to win it.
That's
in
true.
The beginning. So you have the tug of war of, I'm not happy. Is it supposed to be this way? You don't know who to talk to. Everybody else is acting like their marriage is perfect. No issues, no problems. Mm-hmm. It's just me. Life can't be this way. What am I doing wrong? You go through all of these emotions and then you finally get to the end where you're just like, I cannot do this anymore. For the sake of both of us, my sanity, your sanity, you won't hurt me. I won't hurt you physically. And so it was definitely a journey and it was very hard. It was extremely hard to put an end on it because you do feel like, unfortunately, me personally, like I was a failure. And we look at marriage here in our culture as a big deal, right? It's almost a rites of passage. This is what you're supposed to do. Right. So to have mine fall apart, I was an emotional wreck for a while, but look at me now.
thriving. That's why I'm like, when you look at yourself, when you think back to where you were and where you are, what was the hardest part? Was it the getting over the assumptions of what people would think? Because clearly you're thriving now. So was it an imaginary burden you had to push past or just the narrative changing that you didn't expect?
I think it was the unknown. So, you know, you're in a marriage for 10 years. You haven't been dating for 10 years. You have grown with someone for 10 years. Right. Y'all share a lot of things over the 10 years. And then to kind of press stop and almost basically start all over again. Like most things I had to financially rebuild.
Yeah.
I didn't know what dating was like anymore because I thought I was officially off the market. And so it's like having to readjust to all of that was a lot. It was a lot. It was like a culture shock almost.
Because in 10 years, you're thinking, I'm sure, like we're locked and loaded. Like you've gotten past the first couple of honeymoon phase, the 7-year itch. You've bypassed all of that to get to the point where you said, okay, we need to dissolve this. That's a lot. And I can imagine why you would feel like there was some failure in that because society, like you said, in our culture, it absolutely does not lend itself towards being generous or even gracious to people, especially women who are single. Mm-hmm. Paulina said at 57, the dating pool is so small that it's hard for her to find a man who hasn't dated one of her friends.
But now I'm 57 and I'm in the dating pool.
What is that like?
It's a small pool. Dirty little puddle.
She said dirty little puddle.
Girls, ladies, it sucks. Well, it turns out that on the dating apps, men our age, my age, that are willing to sleep with women our age have slept with all my girlfriends already.
Now that's sad.
It is.
Is this true for you? And have you had to have somebody that's dipped in the same pool as one of your friends?
You know what? I'm going to say no. So I'm going to make the assumption.
I'm so glad. Right. Right. I was holding my breath, Charnita. I was like, oh, Lord, please tell me no.
Right. I'm making the assumption her pool was small because she stayed within the industry, even though that's a big industry, right?
Right.
So for me, like, I try to have a variety of options. There's the connection between the sorority and the fraternities, maybe people from college or people that I have met through professional spaces. So you have to like expand your network. You can't stay in that same village of people. Right. Otherwise, I'm sure that is bound to happen like it did for her. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That
I'm just grateful because when the whole swimming in the same pool thing kind of made me want to, you know, it was taking me to bodily fluid angst.
not bodily fluids now. Wait a minute.
I was like,
it made me think of not so much friends or dating someone your friends have dated, but maybe attempting to date someone who knew you as married. That might be difficult. Have you experienced that?
That's interesting.
You know what? Honestly, I think that kind of makes you more of a hot commodity in a weird kind of way, right? So it's almost like you've been taken off. Like, you've been put on the show for 10 years. You was just, like, off the market for 10 years.
And they know you can commit, right? So they know that that's a possibility.
Yes, it says
so
other things.
That's such a good point.
How has aging changed the way you see yourself and the way you date now that you're out here in this market? How you feeling?
Okay, so the aging part, it was tough. Even though I laugh and joke about being put on the shelf for a little while, the age process is happening, right? And so you become a little self-conscious. One gray hair turns into 15 gray hairs and the wrinkles start to come in. And so I understand the reason that you want Botox. But what the cool thing is, so if I try to date within no more than 5 years older than me and no less than 5 years younger than me.
Okay.
And at this age, they're graying too. They have wrinkles also.
Yes.
So the conversation becomes different. Mm. And I had to almost train my mind. Like, we're going through the same things. Mm-hmm. It's just in your mind. The 10 years have passed. And you're like, oh, right. No, this is sagging now. They have things that sag too. Okay.
Yes.
Right. So it's just more transparent conversations. Like, the guy that I am dating, we joke about the fact that he's slow now, or he might repeat himself 3 or 4 times, or as all of this gray hair popping in. I mean, you live in that moment.
Life will create an equal sag opportunity.
Yes.
Yes, it will.
What an equal sag, man. Y'all are hilarious.
And even though you're not in the spotlight, have you ever felt any pressure to defy age by getting Botox or any fillers, Charnita?
I did, but I don't think it was from like the community or the public. It was just me in my own head. Uh-huh. I never seriously researched or made an appointment to proceed with any of that. But I would say I am a fan of aging gracefully. And when I say gracefully, I just mean taking care of your new exterior shell, right?
Yes,
so I try to do things to maintain myself. Like, I might get chemical peels or facials, massages and things like that, but I don't know what Botox is categorized as, but I'm not interested in that at all.
And I think it's good that you're saying you do things to maintain your well-being and wellness. And I want to encourage the PYTs and the tenderonis in Carver's age group. Go ahead now and start doing some of the things Charnita just mentioned so that when you get to the 50 club, that you will be able to have a maintenance plan and not trying to be in correction mode. That will help you.
Come on. Note to self, get a chemical peel.
And, you know, these we got some people out here in the 50s and 60s rocking and giving these folks in the 30s a run for their money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Agreed. Yes.
And Gammy is one of them.
Ain't
Botox
she?
Or not, Gammy is smoking hot. She killing
she
the
is.
Game.
She is. We love us some Gam. Listen, I heard you say you are dating, so let's talk about it. I mean, have you tried to do dating on some of these apps, or what has your experience been like? You just going out here getting coffee?
I love her. She said, ooh.
The apps were not for me. I tried it. I tried the apps and it just wasn't my space. I think they were looking for different things.
Like sex.
And I wasn't. Yeah, like definitely sex. Like sex. Absolutely. Okay. And everything was done. It's you can only imagine the idea of technology makes everything faster.
Right.
Right. Right. So in my head, it's a 10-year gap. So you log onto the system or the platform and everybody's like, hey, can I call you? Hey, can I see you? Hey, when can I take you out?
Right.
And I felt like the old lady. I'm like, can we slow down? Can we exchange a few more messages?
What's your name?
What is your real name?
All I see is poo.
Like, is this really you?
Silver Fox.
Yeah. Right. So I would say I met about 2 or 3 decent guys, but nothing ever progressed beyond that for me.
So youth apps, N-O, a couple of people, but not really, because they were moving too fast. You want them to slow down.
Moving way too fast.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I have had better luck in dating or just by mutual friends, like knowing someone who might know someone that's single.
Right.
They know me. They know that person. And just think it would be like a good introduction and they walk away after that point. But I've been more successful with that style of dating.
Which is much more traditional in the sense of it's someone that you feel a little more comfortable with because it's someone that you know, right?
That part.
Yes.
Because I don't have time to continue to cross check you on the sexual offender list. Because
we got catfishers out here. We got all kind of stuff going on.
All
nowadays. Scammers, you know, go back and listen to some Let's Red Table that episodes. We see the dating online can be problematic.
Listen,
folks. Hello.
Mm-hmm. How has being divorced altered the way you approach new romantic relationships? Do you have some non-negotiables for your partners? Have those changed?
Yes. So it's kind of weird because they're non-negotiables, but they should have never been negotiable anyway.
Okay, come on here.
But, but the conversations are just at a different level now. It's more about teammate, right? So I am interested in someone who can take care of me and I can take care of him in every aspect. It's the finance, the romance, the family life, the core values, all of those things. Uh-huh. And this time around, I'm talking dinner over conversations about, do you have a retirement plan?
Okay.
Like, where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, more mature. Yes. Do you have a savings account, right?
Do you have life insurance?
Life insurance.
All of that. Yes.
When have you been to the doctor last?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You had your colonoscopy.
What's strange, because before dating, like younger dating, no one was talking about those kind of things.
Like it's
accepted them as they are.
Like it never existed. I mean, I've even talked about credit and maybe where either of us have taken wrong turns. But what are you doing now to fix it? And what did you learn from it? It's all about what did you learn from those bad experiences? And those conversations are very mature conversations.
Yeah.
Like,
what are you learning in life overall? Because someone may learn in anything, friend. They are not.
Oh, yeah. Age and wisdom don't go together. That's not an automatic partnership.
That part.
Agreed.
You can have communication and comprehension.
Right. Comprehension and communication are two things, too, that do not necessarily, it could be one of these things that not belong. Because you can have some people that are old and foolish.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And some people who are young and very wise. So I appreciate having the conversations. And there's so many things that in your 20s and 30s that you take for granted because you don't factor in that you're living this real life and you need to be prepared for things that are going to come in your future. And how are you planning for them?
Exactly. Exactly.
When you're putting two senior lives together, two seasoned Cara veteran lives together, you really need to be able to figure out what you're going to do with some assets and some other stuff, especially
that's
if you
mess
around and get married.
Listen.
That's right.
I'm already thinking about it, y'all, because, I mean, listen, my mama, I want another emergency contact. I want someone else.
Absolutely.
I can put on the line because I'm my mama's emergency contact. It's flipping at this point in time.
That's right. That's right. It's time to start thinking about some stuff like that. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And people say with age comes wisdom. So now, Charnita, what are some of the wisdoms you wish you could tell your younger self, whether about dating or just life in general? Because, you know, being this age gives you some opportunities to have some fantastic hindsight, right?
Yeah. One thing for sure would be to take my time. I feel like my younger self was like the technology platform. Like you move too fast, right? It looks like a duck, waddles like a duck, quack like a duck. It's a duck, but I'm trying to tell myself, no, it's a chihuahua. I can make it a chihuahua. Like I can figure that out. No. Right. So take your time because the representative cannot hang around but for so long, right? So if you slow down, look for consistency, which is what I would tell my younger self, and follow your intuition. Like I know the intuition is not developed but so much at a certain point in life, but my gut early on, right before I got married, and even in the beginning of marriage, I questioned. I was like, girl, what are you doing? And what did you just do? I tried to figure it out. Yep, I tried to figure it out. I was like, this has to be normal. What I'm feeling is not weird. And I'm learning later in life that my intuition, if I have questions about it or I'm not sure, I need to do more, either more research, ask more questions, have those hard conversations that you feel weird about initiating. But sometimes that's where you get more information to help you feel better about either not doing something or doing something. So
follow your gut.
Follow your gut.
I want to ask one more question. What I do want to know is because like it probably took a while for you to take the leap and decide this is it. And then you got your partner to say, okay, I'm feeling what you're saying. Let's go ahead and split, what have you. What new did you learn about yourself on the other side that you didn't even see coming? Whether it was creativity or did you have any dream or anything that you were maybe hindering in your previous married state that you can now act on or decided to go for, if that makes sense?
Yep, it's kind of two things. So as far as take some leaps, I have always wanted to pursue real estate full time. I've had my license now for about 20 years and things could never align on the marriage side. Like our lifestyle didn't live off of one income. So we both had to always have consistent income coming in. Or if I was trying to support his vision and his goals, so anything extra went to his dream and not my own dream. So to be able to finally fulfill some of my own personal goals and accomplishments on this side is a great thing. But the other thing, Kara, has nothing necessarily to do with like professional space, but it does kind of have something to do with about me, would be the those uncomfortable conversations, girl, can take you far. To build up enough tenacity to tell my mate that I was no longer in love with him. Took the act of Congress because I am such a hard loving, genuine person. And even when it wasn't right, I still was more concerned about hurting him. I was like, I don't want to hurt him. So I was still sacrificing my unhappiness in that happiness. Space. And I'm learning that as difficult as some conversations have to be, it's something better on the other side once you move beyond it. And you can't see it and you can't feel it, but I'm so proud of myself for pushing myself through that, I don't know, it's just, I don't even have a word to explain what that feeling is when you have to say that to someone. And then you have to find enough tenacity to move beyond that place. I learned a lot about myself. Like I thought I was strong, but I was way stronger than I ever thought that I could be. And I'm proud in a weird kind of way to say that because you don't know what a hard conversation would unlock. And I would never thought I would be this happy ever again, but I am. So,
I am proud of you. How long did it take for you to be able to say those words, to speak them out loud to your ex-husband?
I would say, and if I'm to be transparent, I would say a year 4 into the marriage, I was falling out of love. I was falling out of love. I just kept trying and I kept trying and it's going to get better.
That's an honest thing.
And you feel like this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to tough it out because one of us supposed to die before it's over.
Right.
And I'm like, you got to keep pushing. It's going to get better.
Right.
Then years, just year after year after year. And I became unhappy and depressed and everything else. And I was like, nah, this is not it.
And just losing yourself in it and sinking further and further. Yeah. Yep. Right. Wow. Yep. 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And probably pouring more so from an empty cup, bless your heart. Because like you were still pouring. And I think that's the thing that maybe we're going to set some people free during this episode. Yeah. It's okay for things to start going another way and for you to still try. Like, I don't want somebody out there to be like, no, maybe it's my sign to leave. Maybe it's your sign to maybe try something else. Communicate first. I'm sure you tried all the things in advance, but it's done. I think that's okay to say.
And I think what she said too, follow your gut.
Right.
Follow your gut. Your gut is always going to be a guide. It's a fantastic beacon for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in the spirit of giving wisdom and sharing some of the jewels and gems that you've learned along your way, one of the two of us is single on here. And one of the hosts of this fantastic podcast is single. It's not me, Charnita.
Okay.
What would you say to our young, fantastic, successful host in terms of dating? What would you tell her, and along with all the other listeners, what do you need to have as a little wisdom that they can put in their pocket?
I'm still going to take your time. Do not sacrifice. If you have a list of your desires, it is very important that you stick to the list of your desires because ultimately your happiness is key.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Got it.
Your happiness. You got it, Kara. All right. Your happiness. You got it in your pocket. All right.
Listen, it was at the top of the list anyway, because after 20 years of my man gonna come, you know, my son's 20, y'all.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to say to yourself, maybe he ain't, sis. Get on out there and go to the party. Take the trip.
Yeah.
It's just, there's more than that romantic relationship. Y'all know my word, fairy tale. It's okay to not have the princess, whatever they think we're supposed to have.
That's part of the challenge that we have with marriages anyway, because you think that it's supposed to be this fairy tale and it's just not.
You
get into it, and then Charnita, 6 years after she realized, okay, this is not, this is real life. This is not what I wanted. She still waited. To say, I don't want to disappoint my family. I don't want to disappoint his family. Right. I don't want to look crazy to my friends. I don't want to feel like a failure. When all the while, you're literally putting yourself further and further back with every yes to them is a no to you.
Yes.
Okay. We have to look at all of our relationships and enjoy all of them, not just the romantic ones, y'all. So that is
agreed.
A vibe.
Katie Morton, shout out to you again, Katie Morton, that hug and roll. When you create those boundaries and tell people that's the hug and then you have to roll out. I am so proud of you that even though it took you longer than you may have wanted, you're here and that you're thriving and doing so amazingly well. So bravo to you, Charnita.
Yes.
She is the best. Hello.
She is the best. Okay.
Charnita, the best.
Listen.
The best. I know it. Right. We could literally talk for, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm glad you shared it here with us today at our virtual weird table. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank y'all for allowing me to share it. I appreciate it.
We want to know how you're feeling about this new season of Red Table Talk, and we are open to talk about anything with you all. So please send in your questions at letsredtablethat@redtabletalk.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/letsredtablethat.
Yes, we want to hear voices, don't we?
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening, and make sure you subscribe on iHeartRadio app and please rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back next week for another episode of Let's Red Table That. Special thanks to executive producers Jada Pinkett Smith,
Fallon Jethro,
and Ellen Rakuten.
Thank you to our producer, Kyla Kineru,
and our associate producer, Yolanda Chow.
And finally, thanks to our sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar.
Yay! Let's red table that. Hey,
let's red table that.
Hey!
Maybe we should really do an album at this point.
I know.